There's just so many things going on in this day and age, with not only in our nation, with the political situation and the changes that takes place in that, but in the body of Christ, the changes that are going on there, what God is doing. It's just a really special time to be alive, and it requires our cooperation with God for what God wants to accomplish in these last days. One of the things, as we were studying in Sunday school, that has just, I've been thinking about, I'm not saying this is, you know, exactly the way it is, but just that it's possible. Now, we know we all want to be pre-trib by choice on, you know, as far as the rapture and stuff, but it's possible we could be entering in to the initial stages of tribulation with everything that is going on. And it's like, that's just kind of an awesome thing. It's like, if we are, then that gives us a time frame as to what's going on. Now, we don't know the day and the hour when Jesus is returning, but if we have entered into that time, we know we're looking at 7 years. We know that's the time frame we're working in. God has a lot to accomplish. We have heard so much, and you hear it everywhere you go. And it even has filtered into people in the world speaking. And I mean, they might be Christians, I don't know. But I mean, even on the news and things, you hear people talking about an awakening. You know, that we need an awakening to God. I mean, the talk is just everywhere. It's not just in the special circles in the body of Christ. It's everywhere of our need to have this awakening. So there's got to be some awesome stuff take place. And when it does, we have got to be in a place to handle that. If there's going to be a huge influx of people into the body of Christ, they're going to need us. I mean, we need them, but they're going to need us, because we've been around for a while. We should have something to offer them, some wisdom, some maturity, and some development to help disciple them, because obviously things will wax worse and worse in the earth, whether we're in the stages of the beginning of tribulation or not. It's not going to get, quote, better before tribulation actually starts. It's just, there's going to be a lot of tough things. But there's a place where we can live beyond and in spite of those tough things. And I want to talk about that this evening. We had a word from the Lord just a few weeks ago in the evening service, and it was really a super word. Jesus came and was checking us out, looking around. But I just want to share a few lines to just kind of set the stage for this evening. He said, "Set yourselves apart. Set yourselves apart for me, says the Lord. In it you will find the joy of your heart. You will find the satisfaction of being with me. I will cause you to ride in the high places. I will cause men to bow before you, to acquiesce to the things that you say and share. But I will declare my glory, says the Lord, in one way or another." And he's telling us to set ourselves apart. He wants us to find that place with him. He says that's where you're going to find your joy. You're going to find your satisfaction. It's a real place of life. And he says, "I will cause you to ride in the high places." And I want to take a look at that this evening, of riding in the high places. That's where we've got to go. That's where we've got to go. And I'm not going to go into a whole lot of details about getting into that high place. We're just going to take a look at that high place, and God will fill in the details for each one of us as to what we need. But in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, God talks about this. This is a in the section of God's chosen fast, that God's more interested in action and compassion being expressed and his nature being expressed than us denying ourselves food, although that is a part of a fast. But within this section, in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 58, it says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. He's saying that there is a place where he wants us to ride on the high places. There is a high place that he wants us to come to, that he wants us to live in. He doesn't want us living in the low places. He wants us living in the high places. That's where he is. And he wants us to live in that place. Another verse real quick, Proverbs 15. And this came up the other day in prayer, and it's just like, oh man, I tell you, God just works things out. Proverbs 15, verse 19. It says, the way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. And I believe Old King James says the way of the upright is a straight way. So you might have different words depending on what version you have. But the Hebrew word there that is listed as highway, it means to mound up as a turnpike. And I thought, you know, I'm surprised that turnpike is, you know, a word that's that old. But it's to mound up as a turnpike. And just even within this verse, we can take a look at some things. About the way of a lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. When you are not on the highway, when you are not up on a turnpike, you are down in the valley. You are in the places where it's rough. Now, we're not going to look so much at the lazy man, you know, that because we don't want to be lazy people and we don't want to be down that valley place. But it's like a hedge of thorns. There's just stuff to get through. It's closed in, or it's complicated with things. And that's what is down in the valley. When you think of turnpikes or interstates, you know, they're kind of interchangeable. But especially with the turnpike, when you think of a highway like that, want some that's mounded up, it's mounded up away from the regular stuff. It's mounded up high, first of all, like so if you have any floodplain or anything, it's not going to get washed out. But it's lifted up above all the bumps and the valleys and the dips and the curves. It's raised up where you can look out over things. And you can think, even, you know, you travel on Interstate 70 or 68 or 81, you know, whatever. And it's not perfectly this way, but work with me. But it's set up above things. It's set up out of the way of just little odds and ends, and it's a very direct pathway. There's a greater view. Now, you don't see the little details, but you see further and see the overview. You can see weather and stuff coming when you're up on a highway like that, because you're more out in the open. It takes it away from all the closed-in places. Well, God wants us to live on a high place where we can see, what's going on around us, where we know what's going on. We can be familiar, and if we have to get off of that path to rescue someone or to deal with situations, we can. There's places where we can do that. There's designated ways to get off of that path. But you don't want to get off of that path by a crash, you know, which it would be sin, which would be missing God. You know, doing your own thing, going faster than it's required, or whatever, doing something stupid. You can get off of that path. You can run out over the edge, fall down into the ditch. You can get into places, but there are ways to move in and off of that path to accomplish things that God wants done. But he wants us to ride on this turnpike. He wants us up there. One of the things I was thinking about with a turnpike is just, a turnpike is what you take when you want to get somewhere. You're not there to just check out every store in every little town, or to, you know, check out everybody's front yard as you go by because you're on a local road. You are going from here to here and you want to get there the smoothest way possible. You don't have hardly any interferences. There's not lots to look at. There's places where you can get your needs met, little rest stops where you can eat not so good food and and have facilities available. But it's a real straight path. It's a purposeful road. You're not up there just enjoying the scenery. You are there for a purpose to get something done. And God has a highway that is a place of purpose for us, a place for us to accomplish what he wants. And it doesn't have a lot of distractions on it. It's just highway. There's places you can get off. There's places, you know, for needs to be met. There's all those kind of things. But it's a place, it's purposeful where you can accomplish things. Now, let's flip back to Isaiah 35. We're going to take a look at one more scripture about the highway. But God is calling us to this highway. Isaiah 35, verses 8 and 9. These are also familiar prophetic scriptures. He says, "A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there." It is a place for God's people. It is a place of holiness. It is a place of cleanness. It's a place where there's not lots of other trouble. Now, we're always going to have to be dealing with the devil, because part of our mission on this turnpike is to put him under our feet, because that's what Jesus says has to be done before he comes back. The enemy has got to be put under his feet. And we're his body, so the enemy's got to be put under our feet. So there's going to be dealing with the devil, but it's going to be on our terms, not on his terms. Because we're going to be on this highway of holiness. We're going to be on this road where there's not the distractions, there's not the interferences with things. It's a place where we can get where we're going, and there is ways to keep the devil off of this place. We set the pace. We set the pace according to the will of God. But it's a highway of holiness. Now flip over to verse 40. Just one more scripture we want to look at. Chapter 40, I'm sorry. Verses 3 through 5. And this is an even more familiar scripture that we can begin to relate to. Verse 3, it says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Here again, this talking about a highway, only this says to make a highway for our God. This highway is a twofold thing. This highway that God wants us to be on is not only for our benefit, where it is a highway of purpose and where we can get where we need to go and accomplish things. It doesn't have the constant little aggravations of the enemy. It's orderly. It's orderly. It doesn't have a lot of distractions. It's a place of blessing. It's a place of holiness. But it's also a highway for God. And it goes back to this word that we had a couple weeks ago. We were talking about it even this morning in Sunday school. When a couple different places, Jesus has come. He says, "Would you let me walk among you? But would you let me walk in you? Would you go where I tell you to go? Will you do what I tell you to do? Would you go in the heart of the king? Lay aside your own life, to lay aside the things that hold you back, that keep you from pressing on. Would you pay the price to have me walk in you? For if my body would pay that price, oh, the great awakening that you're praying for would soon begin to appear before you." So this highway is not only for us and for our benefit, but it's a highway for God to be able to do what he wants to do. And this is what Jesus was saying. Jesus was coming and saying, you know, "Will you let me work through you? Will you let me move through you? Will you take my heart, my attitude, my word, my plans, my purposes, and let me move through you. Because if we do that, if we allow him that place in us, it's going to take us to that highway. We're not only making a highway for him to be able to come and move through us, but it's going to take us to that highway where things will be accomplished. He says, if we will just begin to do that, this awakening will begin to take place. If we'll just let him have his place and his way in us. But we're to make a highway. And we know this refers to John the Baptist when he was preparing the way for the Lord. But what he was dealing with the people to make a straight way, to say make straight in the desert a highway for our God, it means we've got to make the way. God's got the highway there, but we've got to make a way. We got to get rid of the clutter and get rid of the things that keep him from being able to come in and flow through us and do the work. So we have to prepare the way for him. We have to straighten out the things. We have to make a turnpike in us where God can just come through and accomplish what he wants, where he's not always having to deal with this and this and this and this and this and this and this, that he can just flow. That there's not hindrances to him being able to flow. Because one of the things that the Lord said later on about this, he says, I'm leading you into a new sphere, into a new area that requires boldness. He says, where passivity has been taught, an awakening causes one to be bold. It causes me to be bold in my people, for I know that they will not back down, neither shall they shy away. But they shall act and speak as Jesus. And this is what God is looking for. He wants that highway in us so he can come in and be free to go where he wants to go. Be free to do what he wants to do, to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And in the midst of that, it puts us on that highway. It's not only a highway that God can move through us and do what he wants to do for others, but he says, on that highway is your place of blessing. On that highway of holiness is where you're going to find your joy. That high road is for you. Your joy, your pleasure, your desire, your needs are going to be met. We heard about that this morning of just God wants to bless us. He wants to meet our needs. He wants us to take joy in things, but we've just got to do it his way. We've got to let it be by his way. So we got to have this highway. Now, in Proverbs 16, it tells us that the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. That's just in its simplest form, that's how we get to this highway, is we've got to depart from evil. And that can be little bitty evil or great big evil, whatever you might be dealing with in your life. But if we'll depart from it, we can get on to that highway. The Bible tells us to come out from among them and be separate. We've got to come out from the ways of the world. We got to start doing things even more and more God's way. I mean, we should be anyhow, but we've really got to determine that we are going to live by faith. We are going to live by the power of God. We are not going to just get snookered into the ways of the world, because they're there, and we've operated in so many of them, and we're so used to them, but we've got to determine that we're going to let God show us the right path, the highway that we can walk on, and to depart from all those things. We're going to open a way for God to move. We're going to make a highway for him to move through us, and we're going to live our life on that highway and enjoy what he has for us. Now, one of the things that we were talking about the other day is there's a lot of discussion even in the news about it, but there's an entitlement mentality in the country. But it's also in the church. It's just this thing that, well, within the country and the political spectrum, it's just, well, the government should do everything. You know, the government should just take care of everything for us. They should pay us our wages. They should take care of our health care. They should do this. They should do that. They should take care of educating our kids. Let the government do everything. And it's entitlement. It's just like, the government owes me this. And it requires nothing on our part other than to just be. And they would take care of it. Well, that entitlement mentality is in the church. It's in different levels, different forms, but it's this idea that the blessings of God should just happen to me if I'm saved. I made Jesus Christ, I'm born again, so everything should just happen for me. Well, it doesn't just happen. Praise God, it is the beginning of the way. It's the opening of the door, but there's still things in our part that we have to do. We can't earn the blessings. And this is always a sticky point sometimes in churches. I'm not saying this because I don't believe we have that situation with anyone here, but there's this idea that if you require things from them, things from the scriptures, if you require holiness, well, you don't have the right to require that of me. Jesus has accepted me. And there are people that feel that way. How dare you try to require things of me because Jesus has accepted me. That's what grace is all about. Well, he has accepted us, and that is what grace is all about. But it doesn't get us off the hook from still obeying God and conforming our lives to the things of God. We can't earn our blessings, but we can make the highway. We can make the way for them to manifest in our life. And a lot of, sometimes it's work. And it's not work to earn it. It's work to change the way we are, to change the way we think, to change the way we act, what we do. It's the work of changing those things, lining ourselves up, that highway of holiness, putting ourselves in that place so that the blessings can flow. But a lot of times we just have this idea, well, it should just happen. There's no work to faith or believing or anything. There's work to it. You know, sometimes you have to wait. Sometimes you have to believe for a long time for something to manifest. But if we don't stick with it, if we won't employ patience, if we won't stick with the word, if we won't stick with our confession, we'll just let it go. And we won't enjoy the blessing of the highway. And then some people then can just get bent at God because, well, I thought this was supposed to be all this life of blessing. Well, it is, but we just have to put ourselves on the road. We gotta stay in the path of God for those things to work out for us. And we don't want to have that mentality in us. We want to have the mentality of God. I want the way clear for you. I want you to have a highway in me. You can do whatever you want. You can just tell me what you want me to say, what you want me to do, where you want me to go, and I will do it. And we can know and be confident that God's going to provide everything we need because we're just seeking his way first, and he's going to take care of all that stuff because he knows we want the stuff and need the stuff and all those kind of things. It's a place of flow in the things of God. Now let's go to 2 Timothy. God wants us on this highway, but these are some things that shows us about our responsibility for getting there. I mean, God will certainly lead us, but he does have to have our cooperation even when he's leading. Second Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to begin in verse 19. It says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So there's our first step. You know, we just got to shun evil. That's what the highway of holiness is about, is turning from evil. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." He's telling us there are vessels that are for honor and there are vessels that are for dishonor. But if you don't want to be a vessel for dishonor, you have got to cleanse yourself from the dishonor. Now, Jesus is the cleanser. He is the one that has the cleansing blood. He's the one that does it. But we've got to be willing to be cleansed. We've got to be willing to let go of the things that aren't clean. The attitudes that aren't clean, the activities that aren't clean, the thoughts that aren't clean, the things that would defile us. We've got to be willing to get rid of those dishonorable things so that we can be a vessel of honor, sanctified, set apart. That's what Jesus is saying in the Word. Set yourself apart for me. Sanctify yourself to me. Let me do these things the way I want to do them, so that we can be useful for the Master and prepared for every good work. That's what that highway is all about. We're useful and we're prepared for anything. Any situation that comes up, we can handle it, because God makes a way. God has the answer. Whatever we need, God has the answer. He has the supply. We can be useful for Him. He can use us to rescue the lost, to help others, to disciple others, to help them grow up, to build the kingdom of God. So it's our responsibility to walk holy on this highway of holiness. God sets us at the opening to the turnpike and says, okay, now this is what's required on here. But we got to cooperate, because if you don't cooperate on the turnpike, you get kicked off. It's a specific road. You just got to do things a certain way. You can't go too slow. You can't go too fast. You can't be messing around. You can't be pulling off the side of the road. It's very specific, because it gets you from one place to another. And part of the interesting thing in that, when you think of a turnpike especially, it costs you to ride on a turnpike. You can take a lot of other ways to get places, but it costs you something to take the nice, straight, direct, quick way without any distractions and difficulties. It costs you something, and it costs us something. It costs us giving up our own ways and our desire for things that aren't necessarily quite like God would want them to be. It costs us to give that up. I wanted to share a few verses. We won't read them all. I'm just going to go through them, but just verses to remind us about our walk on this highway, that our path on this way, that these are things that are involved with it. In Ephesians 4:1 and Colossians 1:10 both, it tells us that we are to walk worthy of our calling. Here again, this is God has called us to work with Him. He has called us to be kings and priests unto Him, called us to serve Him, called us to be vessels of honor for Him to use, called us to walk on that highway of holiness, and the Scripture is encouraging us to walk worthy of that. Don't settle for being less than what God's made available for us to be. He's made it available for us to be able to be clean and strong and wise and mighty and useful in the kingdom of God and in the purposes of God. So walk worthy of that. Don't let stuff in your life that doesn't belong there. Don't let those things clutter up your walk on this highway. 2 Corinthians 5:7 is a familiar one. It says, we walk by faith and not by sight. It means we have got to have our faith and confidence in God, that He is going to get us where we need to go. Because on a turnpike, there are not a lot of signs. There's not, there's just all kinds of things on other roads. You know, there's just all kinds of other little roads and little signs and different things to see. Well, when you're on a turnpike, there's not much. You get on, it gives you the information of how far you have to go to get to the next spot or to the rest stop. And then you don't get a whole lot of other stuff, because there isn't anything else to do. There isn't anything else to be concerned with. You just need to know the basics. We got to learn how to walk by faith. Because there's a lot of times on this highway, we want more signs. You know, we want more instruction. It's like, okay, I know you put me out here and I know you told me to go this direction, but I haven't seen anything yet. And we get impatient, but we've got to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. We've just got to follow the voice of God. Galatians 5:16 tells us that we are to walk in the Spirit. That's one of the best ways to walk in holiness, is you just walk in the Spirit of God. You listen to Him. You do what He says. You go where He says go. You talk when He says talk. You keep quiet when He says keep quiet. You follow. That is the quickest way to holiness, is walking in the Spirit of God and not walking according to what we feel or what we think and reason or what we think might be a better way, you know, because God sometimes will give us something to do that just, how can this be of any benefit? You know, how can this do anything? How can me saying this simple little phrase to someone matter? Because it's going to make me look stupid. You know, we find all these reasonings as to why we can't do what he tells us to do. We've got to stay in the Spirit. We can't get over into our own feelings and flesh and things. Got to stay in the Spirit. Ephesians 5:2 tells us that we have to walk in love. Faith works by love. We've got to have our love walk perfected. It's our first and greatest commandment is to love God. And the second one Jesus said is just like it. It's to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is the greatest thing. It's what makes everything work. It's being like God because God is love. We have to walk in love. The Bible also tells us that perfect love casts out fear. If we have fears, we're not quite developed in our love in something. And sometimes that can sound like, well, huh? That doesn't make any sense. But think about it. If you're afraid that you're not going to have enough money to pay your bills, then you're not walking in faith towards God. You're not trusting the love of God that he's going to meet the needs, that he's going to take care of you. If you're afraid maybe in your body that something's not going to get well, then it means you're not resting in God's love. You're not developed in that love of God. And you've got to be developed in God's love toward you. You can't love God or others until you let God love you and get comfortable with God's love for you. Because you can't love of your own ability. It's God's kind of love. So it's very important that we walk in love. Also, if in Ephesians chapter 5, he tells us that we should walk circumspectly. This is probably one of two things that I remember from our pastor that led us to the Lord in our home church. He preached a sermon on walking circumspectly, and it's something that Gordon and I will probably always remember. To walk circumspectly is like you walk through a cow pasture. You're very careful where you walk. You pay attention to where you walk, where you set your feet. You just can't be gandering all around, looking all around at everything, looking at the cows in the distance, checking out the fence rows. You got to pay attention to where you're walking so you don't get in any messes, any trouble. But we got to walk circumspectly. That's how we have to walk on this road. We have to be deliberate and specific about what we're doing. We can't just run on ahead, can't lag behind. We got to be specific about our walk. So God wants us to do that. Also in Ephesians 4, it tells us not to walk in the vanity of our mind. Let's just take a look at that one. We'll just actually put our eyes on one of these. Ephesians 4, 17 to 19. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind or the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness." He's telling us not to walk in the vanity of our minds. And if he's saying you used to walk that way. When you were a Gentile, before you had Jesus, you walked that way. But he says, don't walk like that. It says their understanding is darkened and they're alienated from the life of God. Do you know that you can be born again and still walk alienated from the life of God? That's what God is calling us out of. He's saying, I want you to come up on this highway where life is. I want you to live in the very best that I have for you, the very best of my life. And when we get caught up in just kind of going our own way, not really being diligent about the things of God or about the Word of God, we can be separated, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance and the blindness that is in us if we don't follow after the Spirit of God, if we just get into our own mind. And if we live that way too long, we get into sin. We get into trouble. I mean, it's already sin just to be that way, I would say. But it says, who being past feeling. And that is something in the last days that we don't want. Because it says in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. We don't want that to happen to us. We don't want to get past feeling. We don't want to just get so separated where we're not touched. And where God, you know, when he speaks to our heart, that it doesn't get us. You know, when God tells us that when he speaks to our heart about something that we've done that needs corrected, it ought to just cause us to melt in a heartbeat. We should be so tender in our feelings that the minute he says, wait a minute, or you shouldn't do that, anything like that, that we would just, oh, okay, that we would be sensitive and not pass feelings. So we don't want to be that way. We don't want to walk in the vanity of our mind. We want to walk in God's mind. Another thing to remember is out of Hebrews 6:12, it tells us that we are to follow those who are walking in the blessing. And it says, follow after those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Follow people that it's working for. Follow people that the Word of God is manifesting in their lives. They're on that highway. They're living on that highway of holiness. They're traveling there. Follow people like that. Follow them. The example that they set as they follow Christ, in the Word, always have someone to follow that's walking in more than you are. I know we're a little bit small, but there's ways to do that. I mean, sometimes believers can be so isolated. They're the only one that's walking in the Word of faith, that really understands the Word of God. You know, they don't have anybody around them that really is walking in that kind of a depth. Well, then you got to follow the teachers that are available, whether it's on tapes or CDs or the internet or TV or radio or in their books or what. If you don't have warm bodies that's walking in it, then you got to follow them at least from a distance to go after them. But you should always be following someone that's walking in more than you are. That means you need to be feeding on a regular basis, gleaning from someone that has more than you and understands. And some people, it may be that there are some people that are more highly developed in a particular area. Maybe their whole scope of their life in the Lord isn't fully developed, but they have an area where they excel in. They just really have a good grounding and knowledge and in that area. Follow that. You know, find them and follow them and have fellowship with them. I mean, that it's really important that you have fellowship, that you actually talk and share and discuss the things of God and grow in the Word. It's really vital that we do that. I mean, you can have it from afar. I mean, when we first heard the Word of faith, we didn't know anybody that had any idea what this was. I mean, there might have been Christian people, but they weren't necessarily walking in the Scriptures to actually consider obeying them. They probably were ones that knew the Ten Commandments, but if they'd had to list them, couldn't have, you know, like a lot of Christian people can be. And it's like, we followed over radio. Oh, man, we listened day after day after day. That's where we got our grounding. That's where we learned. And then, praise God, he brings you people and that you can fellowship with and grow in that. But we need to have people that we can follow after. Psalm 84 tells us that God will not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. When we are walking on the highway of the Lord, the highway of holiness, that turnpike of God, when we walk that walk, nothing is withheld from us. No good thing. No good thing. Last few verses, let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Familiar verses, but these are just reminders of how we can walk on that highway, how we can stay on that highway. Joshua 1, verses 7 and 8, very familiar to us. It says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Here again, this goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of our responsibility to walk in holiness, our responsibility to develop in the things of God, to make the way. I mean, God provides it. He's provided it in His Word by His Spirit through the life of Jesus in us, but we've got to get in there. We've got to live in Jesus. We've got to abide in Him. We've got to abide in His Word. He says, you got to be strong and courageous. For some of us, sometimes it means we just got to kind of suck it up and get bold. You know, just be brave to just have to take a stand, because we're entering that day. You can see it. I mean, with all that's going on, you can see that we are entering a time where, man, you're going to have to take a stand. And it doesn't mean that you have to be belligerent about things, but there's going to be times when you're going to have to say yes or no to things and take a stand to do what's right for the Lord. So we're going to have to be brave, but then we've got to do all according. We've got to stay on that path. We've got to stay in the Word. We've got to keep the Word in our heart. We've got to keep it in our mind. We've got to keep it in our mouth, and we've got to do it. We're real good at having it in here, but we got to do it. We got to get it in here, in here, in here, and do it. And then the Lord says, if you will do that, you will make your way prosperous and successful. You will. It's not just going to be an entitlement that falls on you. You will make your way because you put yourself in a position for these things to happen, by your obedience to God, by your wisdom and understanding of the Word, by letting the Word become a part of you and manifest. You have made the way. You are the one that lets this take place. Let's go to Jeremiah 6. I want to walk on this highway, live on this highway. Verse 16 of Jeremiah 6 says, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. And we're not going to read that last line, because there was a problem with the people that this was being told to. And we're not going to have that problem, because we're going to do this. He says, find that path, find that highway of holiness, and walk in it. Because he says you'll find rest for your souls. It's a place of rest. It's like Gordon, when he was sharing this morning about God said, you know, I'm going to put you in this rest. And he's been wondering for all these years, you know, what's this rest? You know, well, praise God, there's rest for your soul too, because you don't have to be worrying about it. When you're on the highway with God, when you're on the turnpike with God, you can have rest for your soul, because there's not worry on the turnpike. There's not worry and fear and fretting and wondering. It's a straight path. There's direction. There's enablement. There's everything you need on that highway. And the last verse, I just wanted to tie this back in, because it goes back to from message a few weeks ago. Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's the highway. That's the turnpike, walking in those good works. When we make the way, when we make a way for God to come into us and have His way in us, it puts us on that highway, and on that highway are those good works of God, that walking in the power of God, walking in His glory, walking in His ability, that we can accomplish things. It even ties back into, you know, into what Jesus was telling us in the Word, but that we'll speak and act like Jesus. They will not quench a smoking flax or crush a bruised reed, but yet they shall deliver the Word of God and set men free. Be able to set people free. Set people free. We're going to be able to ride on the high places. He says, I will cause men to bow before you, to acquiesce to the things that you say and share. He'll cause men to hear the word of the Lord that comes out of our mouth and to give in, to yield to it, to surrender to it so they can be free. Praise God. His last words were, seek after me and you will find me. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. For I will come and I will walk in you instead of just around you, says the Lord. Praise God, we want to be on that highway. We want to make the highway, make the turnpike for Jesus to come in and walk in us. And we want to walk on that way in his will. Amen? Let's stand. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we thank you and praise you, Father, that it is your desire for us to ride on the high places, to come up to that high place of living with you, that straight way of purpose and vision and accomplishment, Lord God, that we can do great things for you. And it comes, Father, as we make that highway in us, that we prepare the way of the Lord. We make ourselves ready for you. We open up to you and we get rid of all those things that are contrary to your word in our lives and in our thought life and in our hearts and in our actions, God. We open up the way for you to come in and fill us and fill us and fill us and overtake us, God, that we can just walk in your spirit, in your power, in your wisdom, that we can do the things that you've called us to do, that we can see the great awakening come to pass, that we can see the great harvest come to pass, that we can be a part of seeing that take place, that we can be like a highway for others. We can be a highway for them because we bring the word of God. We bring the anointing and the power of God to set them free, to make the way for them to come onto the highway and to live with you. Father, we just thank you for this calling. We thank you for this privilege. And we thank you, God, that you've provided everything we need to accomplish these things, to walk in the way that you've set before us. We give you praise, glory, and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.